She lay on my doorstep, ancient and withered, staring up at me with that heartbreaking expression that seemed to ask only one question. Why? She gave me that look before, long ago, almost beyond the limits of my memory. I'd almost forgotten. I wish I had forgotten, or at least not come back to this place. I grew up here, in this land, in a goddamn rat-infested ramshackle shack my father built. Tiny little place. Bedrooms the size of closets. Barely enough room for the beds. No proper kitchen, just the stove and fridge in the corner of the main room. I can't believe he lived in that place to the bitter end. Hell, he had enough money to build himself a new house. 10 new houses. But no, he wanted to stay in that godforsaken fire trap. Maybe that's why I came back. I loved the crazy old man. Had to keep an eye on him, make sure he didn't burn the place down and him along with it. That tar paper shack was in the middle of nowhere. It was freezing in winter and sweltering in summer. I hated the place. So whenever I could, I played outside. Problem was, there were no kids around. The nearest neighbor was like 3 kilometers up the highway, and they had no kids. Back then, there was a tangled, overgrown forest behind the house, all the way down to the lake. Used to love to play there. There were animals to see, trees to climb. The smell of evergreen was a lot better than the musty, dried-out wood smell of the house. I think I was about 5 when I met her, around the same time Mom died. I was climbing down from a tree, and there she was, just standing there, staring at me. Looking back, I suppose I should have found it creepy, but somehow it wasn't. She looked at me with such warmth, just made me feel good, safe. She had long, thick, red hair all the way down her back, almost to her waist. That was the first thing I noticed. I'd never seen anyone with such long, beautiful hair, and it smelled absolutely wonderful, like fresh berries. Her eyes were bright, green, brighter than any eyes I'd ever seen. I couldn't decide if she was an adult or a kid. She was about my 5-year-old height, but she had a lumpy chest like Mom's. Finally, she said, "Hi," in a thin, soothing voice. "Hi," I said back, not sure what else to say. "My name's Aziza," she said. "What's yours?" "Robert." "Nice to meet you, Robert. What are you doing out here by yourself?" "Playing." I wasn't much of a conversationalist back then. "Can I play with you?" she asked. "Sure. Want a race?" She smiled wryly. "Wouldn't be fair. You're too slow." "How do you know?" "I know." "Oh, yeah?" I started running, figuring I'd leave my new friend in the dust. I turned to see her running beside me. Easily. She smiled, then dashed ahead effortlessly, dancing and jumping around the trees like an Olympic hurdle jumper. There was no way I was catching her. I just stopped and stared, not believing my eyes. She looked back, saw I wasn't following, and stopped. "Come on," she called to me. I wasn't supposed to follow strangers. I knew that. But there was just something about her. I had to follow. She took me to the middle of the forest, that sweet spot where you couldn't see either the house or the lake through the trees. She started climbing a tree. It was obvious this was something she did regularly. She was so sure-footed. She looked down at me. "Come on!" It took me a little longer than her, but I finally managed to climb up to where she was taking me. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. The branches of the trees were tangled together in such a way as to create a sort of bowl shape, almost like a huge nest. They were woven so tightly together that you could walk out on them as if they were a floor of a house, with no fear of falling through to the forest far below. The view was awesome. From up there, I could see the neighbor's house way off in the distance, see the sun glint off the entire lake, even see my house and the highway we lived on, winding through the hills. A flock of birds flew over my head, calling to each other into the wild blue of the sky. I felt free, in a way I never had before. What do you think? Aziza asked.
Awesome!
My little boy brain didn't have any other word for it.
This is my place, Aziza explained. If you ever want to play, this is where you can find me. But you have to promise me something.
What?
You can't tell anybody about me.
Why not?
No one can see me. I'm a fairy.
A what?
A fairy. See? She pulled back her thick red hair, for the first time revealing that she had pointed ears.
What happened to your ears? I asked.
I told you, I'm a fairy. We all have pointed ears.
Where do you come from?
Here.
Where's your house? She gestures to the nest.
I live here.
Where are your mom and dad?
All around us.
What do you mean?
This forest created me, like your father and mother created you.
Why can't anyone else see you?
Humans can't see me, except children.
I was 5 years old. It didn't occur to me that this was in any way strange. I just thought this was the coolest friend ever.
Want to play hide and seek?
You hide first.
Okay.
From that day on, I went to her nest to play almost every day. She was always there and always happy to see me. The only strange thing was that as I got older and grew, she didn't. She stayed the same height and age as when I met her. But I didn't care. I was just happy whenever I was with her. She taught me all about the trees and what things in the forest were safe to eat. We'd race and play hide and seek. But she was more than just a playmate. I told her all of my secrets, all of my troubles. I told her about my father living in that terrible little house, my mother dying in a car accident. Told her about school, the mean teachers, the bullies. How I never had any friends over to play, because I lived in the middle of nowhere. The mountain of homework I'd come home with every night. How close I was to totally flunking math. Whenever I was angry or scared or frustrated or sad, I always knew I could talk to Aziza and that I could trust her to always be there for me. That all changed one Christmas. I was 10. By this time, a few new houses had been built along the highway. The Stewart family moved in, not 5 minutes' walk away. They invited us and those other neighbors up the road to a housewarming and Christmas tree decorating party. They had two boys, John and Randall, and they were pretty cool. They had all the cool toys, the stuff I never had, because there was no room in my tiny shack of a house. Finally, kids who lived nearby I could play with. I decided not to tell them about Aziza, not until I got to know them a little. While we were decorating their tree, I realized how awesome it smelled in the house. My father always had an artificial tree, but after smelling that, I talked him into getting a real one that year. We went out to the forest, took an hour to find the perfect tree, then finally cut it down, took it home, set it up, and decorated it. It was so much more fun decorating the real thing, and finally the house smelled like the forest I loved so much instead of that tired, musty smell. The next day, I went into the forest to find Aziza, but she wasn't in her nest. I searched the forest all afternoon, but couldn't find her. I was starting to get worried until finally I heard, faintly, the sound of weeping. I followed it. There was Aziza, lying on the ground, sobbing, next to the stump where we had cut down the tree. "What's wrong?" I asked her, putting a hand on her shoulder. She shrugged me off, jumped to her feet, turned and looked at me, furious, hurt.
"How could you?"
She glared at me for a moment, then turned and dashed off into the forest, sobbing. The next day I went back to the place where her nest was, but it was gone. I knew she was still there, somewhere in the forest. I could smell the scent of her hair on the wind, but she never showed herself to me again. I didn't realize it at the time. I was too young. But I was in love with her. I've never felt that way about any girl before or since. I never stopped going back to the forest. And I never did find her again. Couldn't even be sure she was real. Could I have imagined her? Even if I had, she felt real to me. Finally, when I finished high school, I couldn't wait to go off to university. It was just too painful seeing that forest, catching her scent on the wind. While I was away, Aziza was all I could think about. I've always been a good student, but for the first time, I was flunking everything. I couldn't concentrate. After 6 months, it was clear I wasn't going to make it through the semester. I quit and came home, much to my father's disappointment. I couldn't bear to live in that house, look at that forest, but neither could I bear to leave the forest behind. I had to keep searching. So I moved into an apartment in town, got a boring office job, and every night I'd drive out to the country to see my father and search the forest behind the house for my beloved Aziza. I was lonely. I tried hanging out with the Stewart boys, but I guess we just kind of drifted apart. Or maybe Aziza was consuming too much of my heart. I had no room for anyone else. My father passed away 2 years ago, leaving me the money, the land, everything. Using my inheritance, I tore down the old ramshackle one-room house and built a beautiful new house in its place. The only problem was the view, the forest. It was too painful for me to see it out my window every day, reminding me of my lost love. So I had the forest cleared. Now I have a gorgeous view of the lake. And now Aziza, still no bigger than a 5-year-old, lays on my doorstep, long gray hair wild and matted about her tired, wrinkled face and faded green eyes. Weeping, I pick her up and hold her close, smelling the amazing scent of her hair once again, and all the memories, all the love come flooding back. Aziza, Aziza, where have you been? She looks at me, whispering weakly. I've been here. I've always been here. I can never leave the forest. I don't understand. She looks at me, tears in her eyes. I told you. The forest created me. I am the forest. As the last breath left her body, finally I understood. Couldn't see the forest for the trees.